During vacation time, you never know who's going to show up, except I know Jesus always shows up in his house. He is always here. I want to share a couple scripture passages with you. Actually, going to share several, but kind of as a text, I want to share from Matthew 6, 19 through 21, and then from Matthew 13, 44 through 46. Please record the service. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Can you say amen? And from Matthew 13, verse 44, 45, and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Father, I love you with all my heart, and I am declaring your will to be done in this service. I bind the enemy. I come against the lethargy in the name of Jesus. I declare, let every heart be opened to what you desire to speak to us this day. And we give you the glory because your word changes lives. And I thank you for the authority of your word. Amen and amen. There's a little chorus that some of you may know that goes something like this. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares to you. Oh, that sounds good. So many of you know it. Sing it with me again. Lord, and nothing I desire compares with you. Can we just sing that one more time? And nothing, whoo, yes, compares with you. I am a treasure hunter, and I'm seeking the heart of God. The book of Matthew was written by the apostle somewhere between 50 and 75 AD. The theme of Matthew is Jesus is the prophesied Messiah, and he has established his spiritual kingdom in the earth. And one day he's coming back to establish a literal physical kingdom on the face of the earth. And today he is seeking those who are seeking for him. He is looking for those who are treasure hunters. Those who see that there's something more valuable in this world than silver and gold and diamonds. For they want to be a part of his spiritual kingdom, following after his heart. In the 28 chapters of Matthew, there are 50 different references to the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Father, or the kingdom of the Son of Man. And all of these references are interchangeable. They all are referring to the same thing. They all refer to life in the presence of God and under the authority of God. Present-day kingdom dwellers are those who choose to live in obedience to and under submission to the King, who is Jesus. Can you say amen? He is the revelation of God's heart to us. We cannot know the heart of God unless we know Jesus. But if we know Him, He brings to us the revelation of the very heart of God. In Matthew 4 and 17, Jesus begins His earthly ministry by preaching and proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." He recognized He came to establish that spiritual kingdom in the hearts of those who would seek Him. We cannot live in ignorance. We cannot enter the kingdom without repentance. There is no forgiveness of sin without repentance. And so He began His very ministry by saying, "Repent, because the kingdom has come to you." You now have an opportunity to enter in to divine and holy fellowship with God in a personal way like you have never experienced before. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus declares the acceptable attitude of those who desire to be kingdom dwellers, to live in His kingdom, to be seekers after His heart. We call those attitudes the Beatitudes. Kingdom dwellers are to be humble. They are to be repentant. They are to be meek. They are to be spiritually hungry. They are to be merciful. They are to be holy. And they are to be peacemakers. And oh, by the way, they are also people who must be willing to suffer for righteousness' sake, willing to do the right thing, even when it costs them something in this world. Jesus spends the rest of chapter 5 describing how the attitudes should result in appropriate actions. And He says, "Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Other words, they need to get a picture of the Father through your attitudes and through your actions. They need to see through how you live your life the very heart of God for mankind and for people in general in this world. Through several different scenarios, Jesus then goes on to teach that if we love God, we need to love people. And if we love people, then we're going to treat them righteously, and we are going to, in everything, seek to be as fair and compassionate as we can in ministering unto others. Then He goes to chapter 6, and in chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches us how to pray, and he says that we need to acknowledge God as our Father. We need to pray for provision. We need to pray for forgiveness. We need to pray for mercy and to be merciful. We need to pray for wisdom and direction to overcome the evil one in this world. And then he says we need to pray for the kingdom of God, the very kingdom that we're entering into by the Spirit. We need to pray for it to be expanded throughout the world. And then he gives us a warning. He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The New Living Translation or version says, "Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also." Other words, you will center your life around what you value. Amen. You will center your life around what you value. It could be a career, it could be family, it could be friends, it could be hobbies, it could be houses and cars and material things, it could be entertainment, but what you value is what you're going to treasure. And what you treasure is where your heart is going to end up being. I read a book one time, and the author of the book said, if your treasure is a boat, then you're going to spend as much time on the lake or the ocean as you possibly can, because that's the treasure of your heart. You're going to place your time and your energy and your money and your very life centered around those things that are important to you. Now, some of those things are great things, family and friends and the like. But there is something far more important. He says, what you really need to do is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He wants us to live in obedience to him and in submission to his will. But if serving him is not our treasure, if serving him is not the joy of our heart, if serving him is only about fire insurance and not about a love relationship, then we're going to struggle. Because God doesn't want us to just be saved from hell. He wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants our heart. He wants our life. He wants our soul. He wants us to live with him, in him, through him, and for him while in this world so that we can enjoy him for eternity. He warns us to be obedient in submission to his will. But if he does not become the treasure of our life, then we will go through religious motions and struggle to overcome the world's temptations. Because we will treasure what we value most. Many believers today have accepted the lie that God's will for them is to be happy. In fact, I think one of the biggest problems in parenting kids today is there are too many parents trying to make their kids happy. I can never remember my mom saying to me, "Are you happy? What can I do to make you happy?" No. She asked me if I'd washed my ears out, if I'd taken a bath, if I brushed my teeth. She asked me if I got my homework done, got my chores done. But I can't remember my parents ever saying, "Hey, what can we do to make you happy?" Somehow we've got the idea that if we love someone, then we're overly concerned about their happiness. Let me tell you something. Happy are the people who serve the Lord. I believe that. But God's first priority is not to make you happy. God's priority is to make you holy. Because he understands that until we become holy, we can never be continually happy. The more holy we become, the more surrendered to him we become, the more able to enter into the rest of the Lord, it is the key to us finding happiness. Happiness is something that we determine, not something that God determines. But he wants us to be holy so that we can enjoy eternal happiness. Hallelujah. God's warning in Matthew 6 comes with this declaration. You can't have two masters. You can't simultaneously be seeking for two treasures. You have to make a choice. You have to make a decision. What is going to be most important in my life? You see, priorities count. They matter. They're important. And there's a lot of things that we can do. But he said, seek first the kingdom of God. And we cannot serve two masters, but one. And some of us want to be on five different treasure hunts all at the same time. But what he says is, no. Seek first the kingdom, and then everything else will be provided and taken care of. But seek first the kingdom of God. Jesus is literally telling us, If I am all you want, I will be all you need. Can you say amen? Our life in this world is a spiritual journey. It is a treasure hunt. I don't pray. I don't read my Bible. I don't give my tithe and offerings. I don't treat my fellow man right to win the acceptance of God. No, I do those things because I want to please the God who has accepted me. I want to live a life that he could say to the enemy of my soul, "Have you considered my servant, Don?" That's a dangerous place to be, but it's a powerful place to be. I want to serve God in a way that I can, in all honesty, know that My life is acceptable not because I'm perfect, not because I always do what is right, but because my heart is searching to do what is right. My heart is searching for righteousness. My heart is searching for a right relationship. My heart is seeking to know God. And sometimes that can be a process of learning and a process of growing and a process of becoming. But that's why we're treasure hunters, because we need to constantly be denying our flesh and learning to understand the importance of giving up those things that are not priorities to God, because God is our priority. Don't just play the game. Make him Lord. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus again warns us that treasure seeking the kingdom of God or the heart of God is difficult. In fact, he says in Matthew 7, most of the people that start on this spiritual journey will not complete that spiritual journey. That's scary. Really? Yeah. Read chapter 7. That's what he says. Straight is the gate and narrow the way, and few there be that enter in thereof. You see, the kingdom of God is not for people who have a desire to go there, but for people that choose to go there because they surrender to the Lord and make him the first priority of their life. In fact, he says in chapter 7, you got to keep asking. You got to keep seeking. You got to keep knocking. And if you keep asking, you'll get an answer. If you keep seeking, you will find. If you keep knocking, the door will be open to you. The way will be provided. It's not easy. Anyone that tells you that it's easy is lying to you, or doesn't understand the truth, or simply have not matured enough to know that God does have requirements of us. He said, you will seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. But if your heart is lukewarm, I don't want to have anything to do with you. Now that sounds harsh. But he's saying, I will be number one, or I'm not going to be a part of your life. It's important that we understand that he says, keep asking and seeking and knocking. Keep growing, keep going, keep maturing, keep seeking. I've been preaching for almost 47 years. I started as a kid. But I find my hunger to know him continues to grow. I met a person one time. Sunday school, I don't need to go to Sunday school. I know everything the Bible already has to say. And I thought, whoa! Because I've read my Bible, I don't know, 50 times, 100 times. I don't know how many times I've read it. Every time I read it, I learn new stuff. Every time I read it, the Spirit of God shows me things that I didn't see before. So, that one time where I was pastoring, I preached on the same text for like 5 weeks in a row. And God just kept saying, hey, there's some more to unravel there. There's some more to open up there, you know. And I kept preaching, and finally someone said to me, hey, pastor, when are you going to change the subject? And the Spirit of the Lord just hit me real quick, and I said, when you get it, I'll preach something different. But until you get it, I'm just going to keep preaching what God says to preach. We never reach the point that we know it all. But that doesn't mean that we stop seeking to know him, you know. If we're in love with someone, we want to continue to grow in that relationship. Hello? You know, it's one thing to say you love them when you marry them. It's another thing to love them 10 years later, or 20 years later, or 50 years later. And the truth of the matter is, if it's a real love relationship, as much as you love them when you got married, you're going to love them more through everything you go through. You know, having children, raising families, all of the battles and struggles of life. Our love grows. It expands. If we really seek the treasure. And with God, we can never be satisfied with a get-out-of-jail-free card. Because that is not what's important in reality. What is important is he the love of our life? Is he more precious to us than anything else? Because anything else we know in this world is going to pass away. But God created us as eternal spiritual beings to live forever. He says, the treasure seeker must always know what he's seeking for. And what I'm seeking is the heart of God. To know him, as the Apostle Paul says, in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his sufferings, to know him. And that's a tough thing. We can know about him or we can know him. We can read the Bible as though it's a description, or we can read the Bible as though it is a roadmap that leads us into a greater relationship with God. Now, all treasure seekers must ask the question, is the risk worth the reward? Yeah, that's a valid question. Is the journey's prize worth the journey's cost? And I am confident that the longer you're on that journey, the more you recognize how important the journey is, because it's worth it. You mean being a Christian will cost me something? Yeah, it will. It will cost you something. It will not cost you something that's greater than what you're getting, but it will cost you something. To make God the priority in your life means that you're not making other people the priority in your life, and they don't always like that. Hello? There are some bosses that want the job to be the priority. There are some people who just think, you know, their hobbies and their entertainment and their house, you know, is what they treasure. When I lived in Colorado, there was a couple we lived next door to, and they probably did not like us because I'm not a lawn and garden guy. But I mean, every Saturday morning, they would be out in their yard, you know, digging up weeds and fixing the, you know, I mean, they would do that for hours. Every Saturday, they would spend almost the whole day working in their lawn. Now, their lawn looked like a picture of Better Homes and Gardens. And my wife would just look at each other and say, hey, go for it. But that's not that important. I want to cut the grass as fast as I can get it done and move on to something else. But that was their treasure. That's what they valued, because that's where they spent their time when they weren't working. And it wasn't even just on Saturdays, but every Saturday they were doing that. But through the week, they'd be trimming. They'd be doing all this stuff. Hey, God bless them. I'm not criticizing them. I'm just saying they were telling us what their value was. They knew what our value was, because when it was time to go to church, we were in church. Whether it was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whatever, you know, we were where we could seek the kingdom of God. And people recognized that was what we valued, what was important to us. You see, the life we live really will give testimony to the treasure of our heart. In Matthew 13, the Bible said, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells. Yeah, all. Everything. For joy. He didn't say, oh my God, I can't believe I got to do this. For joy. He said, oh, man, I found it now. And there's nothing more important to me than this. He joyfully sold everything he had. The merchant looking for the pearl of great price. And ironically, that's kind of what we call the story, the pearl of great price. When he found it, the Bible said he sold everything else. He gave up everything else. That became the treasure of his life. And Jesus gave those as examples to us. of where our heart should be in relationship to him. You know, we sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Boy, it's amazing how we can sing songs and then walk out of church and totally forget what they meant. You know. Genuine worship entertains the motive and thought behind what we're saying. And it's true. Some people just talk, and God knows it's just talk. And then other people are pouring out their heart, and God knows that as well. Oh, you all won't be as emotional as I am. I get that. Everyone will not be as passionate as I am. I get that. And I can get passionate eating a hamburger, you know. I mean, I just kind of live passionately. In fact, if it's worth doing, I tend to become passionate about it. And I know that everyone's personality isn't that way, but I also have learned that people are passionate about the things that they really treasure. You know. And God has just called us to be passionate about our relationship with him. Not a relationship that says, hey, I got you in my back pocket and I'll pull you out when I need you. You know, no. It's not a cop courtesy card. No. It's that relationship that says, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to experience your presence in my life. Do you know, I've met Christians that have never experienced the presence of God in their life that they were aware of. Now, he's there, but they've never been aware of it. Their ears are so tuned into everything but the voice of God that they never hear God whispering into their ear, whispering into their heart, whispering into their soul. And I think, how sad it must be to live your life as a Christian and not experience the presence of God. Some have said, I didn't know that was possible. That's the whole point. That's what it is to be a part of the kingdom of God. It is to live in his presence. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm always feeling the presence of God. No, I get gas pains sometimes and feel that. Well, some of you just woke up. But I don't want to go a day of my life without being able to have fellowship with God. Whether I'm reading his word or singing a song or praying or ministering to someone or preparing a sermon. Hey, preparing the sermons to me is such a wonderful and powerful thing. I just love it. I just love digging into his word and to see the revelation of God come to life because I love him. The price they paid in these parables was all to know the Lord. They found a treasure they valued more than any other treasure and joyfully sold everything they owned in order to possess the new found treasure. They didn't let anything in their lives keep them from the treasure they found. The treasure hunters were willing to give up everything. And Jesus declares, this is the cost of relationship with me. This is the cost of entering into my kingdom. I'm not a self-help program. I'm your Lord. If we follow his heart, then our heart will be transformed. Two other examples come to mind in reference to this very truth. In Matthew 12, Jesus is teaching and someone says to him, hey, look, your mother and your brothers are outside and they want you to come out because they want to talk to you. When you read this, if you don't know the heart of God, you kind of think Jesus is kind of a jerk. Because what he says kind of sounds like a jerk on one level. But Jesus answered them, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Doesn't that sound kind of jerky? You can say okay. Lightning's not going to strike you. But he was making a point. Then he says, those that were there seeking his wisdom and his knowledge and relationship with him, he said, here is my mother and my brothers.
For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother.
We don't enter the kingdom of God based upon biological relationships. Sometimes you can get somewhere in a church that way, but you don't get into the kingdom of God that way. We get into the kingdom of God because he becomes the treasure we seek. We enter the kingdom of God based upon our submission and commitment to following the Lord, to following the King. We can't even let our family, our loved ones, keep us from pursuing the heart of God. There's nothing in this world that's more important to me than my family. But I can't let them come between me and God. I've got to make sure I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. The other text is also well known. It's Matthew 19. It's a sad story about a rich young ruler. And that's enough for most of you to go, oh yeah, I know that story. The man wanted to be a part of the kingdom. He said, good master, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you could start by keeping the commandments. Oh, I got that one. I checked all the boxes. I've kept them from my youth. And Jesus said, well, that's good, but it's not good enough. Because we can never be good enough by checking the boxes. Hello? He said, you really lack one thing. He said, you need to give away everything that's important to you and come and follow me. And the Bible said the man sadly walked away. He wanted relationship with Christ. He wanted eternal life. But there were some things in this world that were more important to him than following the Lord. Because I want to be honest with you this morning, and I need to be. I try to be honest with you every Sunday morning. But please listen to me. When you give your life to Jesus, I don't know where he's going to take you, what you're going to go through, what you're going to experience. I've seen some people, it seems like they just live the Midas life. You know, everything they touch just turns to gold. I mean, they're blessed. And I've seen some other people, they've gone through some things, and I wonder myself, God, you know, sure doesn't seem fair. But you see, I didn't create them, and I don't know what God's plan is for their life. But I know that if they love God with all of their heart and they seek him, that wherever he leads them, whatever he takes them through, whatever they experience, they're going to grow in their relationship with God because they recognize that God loves them. And when they surrender to him, he keeps saying, it is going to be all right. It is going to be all right. You may suffer for a little while, but it is going to be all right. Because the God we serve doesn't make mistakes. Give somebody an elbow and say, God doesn't make mistakes. Not hard, just a tap. You know. Your goodness isn't good enough. You've got to come and follow me. And following him may cost you something. Many potential treasure hunters have become discouraged by the truths of God, by the words of God. Many on the road become deterred by sorrow and suffering and sin. Many give up when the words of Jesus conflict with the treasures of their heart and or the judgment of the flesh determines that, no, I don't want to go God's way. I'm not willing to make that sacrifice or that call. The treasure of God's kingdom is not for those who desire it, but for those who choose it. And don't give up seeking the kingdom until they enter into a life of joyful service for the Lord. You know, I have met some people who were serving God, but their life was anything but joyful. And I thought, how sad. How sad. Because he wants us to have a joyful life. But the joy has to be the fruit of the life that we're living. It's a fruit of the Spirit that lives in us and through us. I'm coming close to a close here. Listen to me. John chapter 6, we read these unappetizing words of Christ. Let me turn your stomach before lunchtime. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Now, that doesn't offend most of us today because we think of just Holy Communion. But it sure did offend the people he was talking to on that day. Eat your flesh and drink your... Who do you think we are? We're the children of Abraham. We're the children of Moses. We're not cannibals. He said, he who feeds on me will live because of me. He who eats this bread will live forever. And the disciples protested the words of Christ. No, God, that can't be true. That can't be it. And he said, does this offend you? Can I see the hands of everyone in this building that have read something in the Bible that offended them? Come on, be honest. If we're honest, there's a lot of things in the Bible that offend our flesh. Oh, that too? Oh, man. Oh, God. No. He said, does this offend you? My words are spirit and they are life. But some of you do not believe. Whoa. You see, a part of that treasure is how much we believe. If you believe in the treasure, you're going to keep seeking the treasure. Hello? I mean, there have been people that have spent their whole life seeking for treasure that is going to fade away. But they believed in the treasure, and they kept seeking the treasure. In fact, sometimes many people have been called fools because they just kept seeking a treasure that they believed in. Well, I'm telling you, you may, as a Christian, be called a fool for seeking the treasure that you believe in. But if you believe in the treasure, if you believe you can have relationship with the God who spoke the world into existence and created all that there is and is on the throne, if you believe in that God, if you truly believe in him, then you have no problem surrendering your life to him. What could be better than giving my life to the person who created it and has a plan for it and loves me so that's a good plan? He said, they don't truly believe. From that time, many disciples went back and walked with him no more. Man wrote a book one time. The title of it was Why Men Go Back. Not a pretty book to read. But if he's not first in our life, then we're in danger of going back. And it could be temptation or it could be trial. But if he's not first in our life, then our life is in danger. But if we seek him first, he said, I will provide and take care of you. Jesus said to the 12 apostles after many of the other disciples left, he said, are you going to leave too? And this is what Peter says. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do we know he's the Christ? The anointed one, the Messiah, the Holy One, the Son of the living God, the Messiah, the King. If we know that, then it should not be difficult for us to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I'm not turning back because the road gets hard. I'm not turning back because I have disappointments. I'm not turning back because the path that God took me on was different than the path I thought I was going to be on. I'm not turning back because he is more precious than silver. He's more costly than gold. He's more beautiful than diamonds. Nothing in this world compares with knowing him. That's why I gave him my life as a 12-year-old boy and gave him my future as a 17-year-old entering into ministry. Man, when I think of all the sermons I must have preached when I was 17 and 18 and 19 and 20, and all I knew was Sunday school stories. But God never gave up on me. And he kept loving me. And through the trials, he was tender with me. And through my mistakes, he forgave me. And in those times when I questioned what was going on in my life, he let me just dump it all out on him. And then said, son, you're going to be all right. Because I love you, you're going to be all right. How we respond to life's tribulations, to life's temptations, to life's troubles, determine whether or not we continue the pursuit. We can let other people in our journey defeat us or hinder us. Or we can say, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I'm a treasure hunter. And the more I learn about him, the more I love him. Would you bow your head with me in prayer? God, I didn't come to entertain. I came to share the truth of your word. I came to challenge your people because you love them and because I love them. I challenge them to make sure that they're treasure hunting on the right road with the right motivation toward the right thing, which is the heart of God. Thank you, Jesus, for opening up my eyes and my heart to this God who loves me and cares about me. And who has not given up on me. Great is your faithfulness, Almighty God. Are you a treasure hunter? Are you treasure hunting the heart of God? If you are, would you stand to your feet? There's going to be some fun times in the treasure hunt. There's going to be some wonderful times. There's going to be times when you're going to laugh and you're going to dance and you're going to shout and you're going to rejoice. And if you're from my generation, you're going to say, "Woo, that's so cool." But there will also be times when you weep, when you will cry, when you will hurt. There will be times when you're disappointed and discouraged and frustrated. Pastor, I don't need to hear that. I'm living that. I know some of you are. But I want you to know that's okay. What do you mean it's okay? I mean it's normal for this world to have ups and downs. It's normal for this world to be disappointed. We live in bodies that are deteriorating in a world that is cursed. And there's times when we struggle. But you have to ask yourself the question. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? I've seen too many people die in the faith to doubt whether or not it's worth it. I've seen too many transformed lives to doubt God's ability to transform and to heal, to keep and to save. I can't tell you that every day of my life has been a picnic, because it hasn't been. But I can tell you I would not take back one day of God's leading in my life, because even through the troubles and trials and difficulties, I've learned to trust Him. I've learned that the thing that's got me crazy today won't even matter next week. Because He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, and nothing can separate you from my love. Nothing can separate me from you but you. Nothing. Nothing. Keep pursuing the treasure. And the treasure is not going to heaven. The treasure is entering the kingdom. Living in the presence and under the authority of God in this world as well as in the world to come. That's the key. Turn to somebody and say, there's going to be some problems on this road. But don't be afraid. Because 365 times, once for every day, God said, fear not. Tell them, fear not. Fear not. Seek first the kingdom of God. We get in trouble when we try to seek how to figure out and fix our problems, and we just make bigger messes. No. The key is seeking first the kingdom. Because then He says everything else will be taken care of for me to fulfill my will in You. Father, they stand here this morning. Some of them have already been through great troubles and trials. Others have many difficulties that they may face until You come for them. But I'm here to tell them this morning that it's worth it. This treasure hunt is worth it. The reward is worth the risk of giving up my will to You, so that Your will can be done in my life. Because I know that You will not fail me. You did not fail me at Calvary, and You will not fail me today. You will be there to strengthen me, to comfort me, to encourage me, to help me overcome. You will rejoice with me, and God, I believe You weep with us in this world. One day all weeping will cease. Lord God, I love You more than my very breath. I love You. Help us. Strengthen us to be treasure hunters. God, I don't want to preach a fake prosperity gospel. I want to preach a real prosperity gospel. That You are my sufficiency. And nothing can separate You from my love. I love You, Lord. I love You, Lord. I love You, Lord. I ask You to minister to every one of them. And Father, if You have revealed sin in their hearts, even as I preached this morning, if You've revealed doubt and fear and anxiety and frustration, then I ask You to forgive them right now, Lord. Cleanse them. Cleanse it out of their life. Take it out of their life, out of their heart, out of their mind. Set them free from condemnation, whether it's self-condemnation or condemnation that comes from the devil. You didn't come to condemn us. You came to save us. God, redeem us. Restore us. And bring us to life in You. Help us to continue the journey. Treasure seeking your heart. Because you are the author of all things good. I don't pursue you for the things, but I recognize every good thing in my life is because of you. And I thank you. Bless your people. Heal your people. Restore your people. And help us to walk in the victory that is yours and that is ours because of you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There is such a heavy anointing in this place. Could you just write where you're at? I was going to dismiss you, but could you just write where you're at? Just lift your hand to the Lord, and by so doing, just lift your heart to the Lord. Say, God, just cleanse me. Wash me right now. Wash me. Shower me with your love. Wash me. Wash my heart. God, I need to get some junk out. I need to get some junk out. Just wash me clean right now. Hallelujah. Sanctify me by the water of your word right now. And just wash me. Cleanse me. All those doubts, all those stupid things I've thought and said and repeated. God, just cleanse me of all that junk right now. Because I want to experience your love and your presence and your power in my life. I don't want my ears to be corroded with junk. Wash me, wash me, wash me. Just tell him right now, because he's doing it. I'm telling you, he's doing it right now. He is washing our minds. He's washing our hearts. He's washing our souls. He's getting that junk off of us. He's cleansing those barnacles off of us. Because he wants us to be whole. And he wants us to be free. He wants us to not doubt his love for us. Wash me, wash me, wash me, almighty God. Wash me, almighty God. Woo, hallelujah. Wash me. Get all of those stupid thoughts out of my mind. All those words of rejection. All those words of pain. All those words of suffering. All those doubts and fears. God, wash me. Wash me. Wash me. Whew, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I choose to be free. To walk in his love. I choose to be free to walk in his love. I choose to be free to walk in his love. My Lord, the Holy Spirit is here so strongly. We can walk out of here and let this message just be words, or we can allow the Holy Spirit to wash us with the word. God, I treasure you more than anything. More than anything. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love. Don't let me just get caught up in the junk. Don't let me get caught up in the processes. Don't let me just focus on the journey. Let me focus on you. Paul, you told us that we need to focus on you, on Jesus. So that we can continue the journey. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. His love is so deep. And it's more than I can stand. Yes. It's overwhelming. Go ahead and sing it again. Sing it. At your feet, drink from the cup. If you've never experienced it before, experience it right now. Just forget about everything else for just a couple minutes. His love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your feet, it's overwhelming. When you came to church this morning, some of you didn't know you were going to end up in the throne room, but that's where you're at. The angels of God around this place are saying, wow, God's pouring out his heart today. God's pouring out his love today. God's washing his children today. Yes, 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 yes. To those that will say yes to him, he says yes to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the shower of your blessings that washes us and makes us whole today. Renew us in your love, and we give you all the praise. In the name of Jesus, amen, 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 amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Can somebody just shout out, I'm free? Can you shout it out? I'm free. For the Son has set me free. His word liberates me and renews me and washes me. Not because my ways are perfect, but because my journey is precise. I'm seeking the heart of God. Amen. I don't know what to do, so I guess I'm just going to have to let you go. Man, I hope you're feeling what I'm feeling. I hope you're experiencing what I'm experiencing. Because God's pouring out the honey on his children today. Just take hold of it. Take hold of it. Walk out of here renewed as a treasure hunter who's treasure hunting the heart of God. I love you. I love you. Don't forget the celebration memorial service tonight. Calling hours from 4 to 6, service at 6, reception at 7. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord. Keep him first, and everything else will be added unto you. Amen. I love you. Amen.